Using an overpriced trash bag?
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks?
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag?
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
You gotta snag Hefty's Ultra Strong Trash Bag. Always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
It has Arm & Hammer odor control, so your nose and your wallet will be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags. Hefty strong all day long.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Oh, Big Daddy. It's back. It's back. At least something, not to depress me, although my team lost last night. Why should it not? On a Friday, you know what day it is. Number to call is
1-605-562-8001. Press 5 to join the conversation. Errol, how you doing?
I'm doing good, my friend. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm perfect.
I see you are geared up for tonight.
I'm wearing my Islander t-shirt. It's game day, if you guys don't know. Hockey season is officially back, which means we will have Rob Taub on at 2:10 to have our NHL predictions. So I'm excited to hear your thoughts. But first off, we are also starting up the postseason for baseball.
Actually, it's nice that you say that because I do have a lineup for you guys. I do have a lineup for the Yankee fans. It was tweeted out, so I'm going to get that up for you. But Steven, last night, remember what I told you a month ago? I was being serious. I thought the Yankees would win easily the wild card game against whoever they were playing, and they showed they were the better team, right? I mean, the only teams in the American League that were over 500 all made the postseason. It was easy to say it was mediocre at best this year. They go in, the Twins give you a little scare in the first inning, which was eyebrow raising, and then they go off and they do their business and handle it. And I told you after that would happen, they would be overwhelmed by either the Astros or the Indians, or they would have to play because those teams are just better. They're more experienced. They've been here before. I mean, the Indians, forget it. I mean, the Indians look like they're on a mission to redo what happened last season. Steven, they looked overwhelmed. Aaron Judge looked overwhelmed with 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts.
Real quick, going back to the wild card game between the Twins and the Yankees, you saw did that first inning not scare you?
It did. I mean, how could it not? Because you don't know what the last time Irvin Santana pitched against the Yankees, it was 6 1/3 inning, I believe, of 2-run ball. So you go down 3-0 early in the first inning.
And Severino, your ace pitcher, is out in less than an inning. That's an issue.
You know what? I was afraid of that because now I didn't think he would only be able to get one out. And I see people on Twitter. It's like, well, he struggled. Like, you know, there's a difference between laboring through 3 or 4 innings and giving up 3 or 4 runs and not being able to get an out. I mean, the guy got one out on a pop-up that almost went out of play. So, I mean, a home run by Dozier to start off the game, a home run by Eddie Rosario. That's a bright young team, Minnesota. They'll be back next season. But you saw the struggle. You saw Severino was amped up. The way he was missing his pitches high. Joe had to get him out of there. It was a quick hook. Now, apparently, it's CC tonight, which the lineup, I'll give it to you in a second. Tanaka, game 3, and then Severino, game 4, I believe. Is that how they're rolling, if necessary?
So. Sonny Gray looked awful yesterday.
Steven, I thought last night had to be it. If you were going to win this series, have any hope of winning this series, you had to win last night. But
Trevor Bauer looks awesome.
No, he did look good. And people were trying to get into Francona's head last night. Well, why is Bauer doing this? Why, you know, maybe Francona's thinking ahead. You know, if Cooper only pitches game 2, then first game of the ALCS, he'll have Cooper game 1. I don't think he was thinking that far ahead. I think his sense of thinking was, let me start him game 2. If I need him game 5, I have him game 5. You're the best pitcher in baseball in game 5. So, but, you know, things happen. And we have a caller on. So we're going to put that caller on right now on the Weissman and Oz show. Caller, state your name. Where are you from? Hello?
Hello. How are you doing, Weissman and Oz? Thanks for having me.
Is this Ryan? Is this Ryan?
Yeah, this is.
Ryan. Hello, Ryan. Stephen Ryan is a friend of someone we went to high school with and very interested in listening to our show today. Ryan, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, but I would be doing a little better if the Yankees won last night. You guys were right. Sonny Gray got overwhelmed. The Indians look really fantastic. And if CC Sabathia is 9-0 this season when he's pitched after a loss, but if the Yankees don't win today, they're in some serious trouble.
Yeah, and Ryan, I've heard that stat one too many times, but it, you know, came to my attention. CeCe was third, fourth in the rotation, so he was going up against third and fourth rotation guys. I mean, Corey Kluber, I mean, the guy missed a month and had over 200 strikeouts. He's probably the, you know, the way Chris Sale has pummeled, he's going to win the AL Cy Young. This is a completely different animal. The Yankees can't hit him, and the Yankees haven't been able to hit him. The only one who's been able to get any contact off of him is Jacoby Ellsbury, who will be starting today. But, Ryan, I'm sorry. I don't want to dampen your mood today, but I think last night had to be it. I don't think there's any chance the Yankees even get out of this series in four games. I don't think this gets to a fifth game.
That's very possible. And say the Yankees do win one of the next two games and the Indians have a 2-1 series lead in Yankee Stadium, they could go to Trevor Bauer. But like the broadcaster said last night, even if they choose not to, they could go to Carlos Carrasco, Josh Tomlin, Danny Salazar. The Indians have an arsenal of arms in the bullpen. Their offense has been absolutely on fire. They've won. They've had a 700 winning percentage over the last 100 games of the regular season, complemented by that incredible winning streak. There was definitely a chance with going in, just Yankee fans. They were ahead of schedule. They were hitting a lot of home runs. They haven't gotten the pitching job done, and now they're facing a very serious threat against the Indians.
Well, like you said, it comes down to pitching. At the end of the day, who has a better pitching rotation in this postseason besides Cleveland? I mean, you could argue maybe Houston, but it's a whole, like you said, it's a whole other
I would argue the Yankees, but the Yankees finished second, whereas the Indians finished first. The Indians are just that much of a step ahead in all these categories against the Yankees in terms of bullpen ERA, innings from their starters.
Even starters
have the edge.
I wouldn't say the Yankees have much more of an edge starting. Maybe bullpen, yes. I mean, look what Green did after.
Oh, Green was fantastic.
Severino was
pulled. Green's the best.
Absolutely.
Best relief pitcher in baseball. I think you're seeing the two best relief pitchers in baseball in this series. But, Ryan, the fact of the matter is the Yankees went up against what was, you can argue, the Indians' fourth best starter last night behind Kluber, behind Carrasco, behind Clevinger, which in Francona's ridiculous and mad genius philosophy puts him in the bullpen to make him a weapon. And the Yankees got no hit through 5 1/3. Ryan, they looked like they were overwhelmed. They looked like they had a lack of experience, or, you know, lack thereof, obviously. And this was just different. I mean, they're not the Twins, obviously, the Indians. This team could possibly win the World Series and might win it with ease running through the American League. So I don't think it's a shame, Ryan, if they do get swept in this series. I think they'll steal a game, maybe, in Game 3. I don't think it'll be today. But you should keep your head high. Definitely in better shape than any other New York team. But, Ryan, you should definitely keep your head high with this team for the future.
I would absolutely have to agree with you. I didn't think the Yankees would be a legitimate contender for at least another 1 to 2 years. I absolutely think this season was a success. But however, until we're eliminated, I still think we got a shot, and I'm operating in a very different way.
Well, I hope – you know what I do for this city? I do hope the Yankees do get through this series, but I kind of throw a little shade at it because I did pick the Indians to win the World Series. So. But, Ryan, we're having our Hockey Insider on in a couple minutes. We've got to let you go, but we'll talk to you again soon, buddy. Thanks for calling up.
Talk to you again soon.
All right. That is Ryan. Ryan actually was praised, very high praises from even a friend of ours from high school. He was in a year younger than I was, and very high praises for Ryan. So I wanted to give him a little taste of the Weiss and Oz show.
Okay.
So, optimistic Yankee fan?
Definitely.
Which is fine. Listen, they could – we've seen crazier things happen. We've seen Clayton Kershaw get roughed up time after time after – which we got to get into that series. I don't know what Terry Rivola was doing starting Taijuan Walker in game one today. I don't know what he was doing with Robbie Ray the other night. I get it, Steve. It's a one-game playoff. You got to pull all the stops. Dude, you're using your second-best pitcher. People don't realize how good Robbie Ray is.
He was pretty decent against Colorado.
Decent. Steven, he shut him down. Steven,
Colorado
he
put up a fight.
He put up that was a bigger fight. When it was 6-0, I'm like, there's no way. Zach Greinke, best numbers in the National League at home, 13-1 with a sub-2 ERA. I mean, the guy is just ridiculous at Chase Field, and he gets roughed up by the Rockies. I was sweating a little bit, Steve, because if you're hitting that guy in that stadium when you're not even comfortable outside of Coors Field, I thought that game was over, but Robbie Ray came in and
I just can't see them beating the Dodgers.
I beg to differ.
I can't see it. I truly think we're going to have a Dodgers-Houston World Series with Houston winning it.
Yeah, but you know what? Houston looked good last night, and we'll see them again today. Chris Sale obviously just took himself out of the running for the AL Cy Young, and I don't know, that team has a lot of reflecting to do, because outside their best pitcher, who's been struggling the last couple months, they got nothing. They got Drew Pomeranz going tonight, and either Doug Fister, Rick Porcello, or Eduardo Rodriguez going on what possibly could be on 0-2. But, Steven, also, along with the postseason of baseball, it is hockey season. I see you're very excited. And we're going to have Rob Taub on right now. Rob, who was with us at the Belmore Street Fair, going toe-to-toe with Cusumano.
What's
up, man? How are you?
You know, I don't celebrate Christmas, but, you know, today is the most wonderful time of the year. It's a 100. New season, new hope, and I'm jacked because, you know, we've waited a long – you know, the Rangers did play last night, but I've been waiting for the Islanders to finally get going because, you know, I favor more towards them, but it's also – after the way they finished last year, I'm really excited to see what they have to offer this season.
Absolutely, and – you know what? First, we want to get into our predictions, and we want to hear your thoughts on.
But before that, I do have to ask Rob, because I know Rob probably did watch the game extensively last night for other different reasons. That, you know, I was locked into Louisville and CC. It was disappointing. But Rob, I understand they lost last night. I stopped watching after the first period. Shattenkirk looked comfortable on the power play. Zibanejad looked like he was embracing a role as number one center. What were some? Obviously, they lost the game, but. What were some negatives that led to a loss, and what were some positives that came out of that game that should keep Ranger fans optimistic?
Well, I think you named the positives with Zibanejad and with Shattenkirk looking very comfortable. To me, it looked like Henrik Lundqvist was a little shaky. He looked a little bit starstruck. I know it's opening night, and this was his 12th opening night. He definitely looked a little shaky for the first game of the year. I thought the defense played okay. I thought, you know, they put up 39 shots offensively, but I think that they allowed Colorado a few too many glorious scoring chances. I mean, you saw I was watching the middle of the second period. It was up and down hockey, and it was fantastic the way both teams were just going back and forth. And I think the Rangers got into a bit of a track meet with a more offensively a high-powered team, but Colorado's no walk in the park when it comes to their offense. You know, they had Duchesne, they got McKinnon, they got Tyson Jost, they have JT Compher. You know, Colorado's not, like, they're not too bad on offense, and defensively, I thought they shut the Rangers down after a while. But to me, it was long. I think the weakness last night, and maybe might be a little bit too early to start panning it, but it was Lundqvist. I know that they brought in Pavlik this year to take some of the load off of him, but I felt like Lundqvist, he had some rust. I think we saw the rust last night. I think the team also showed it.
Well, as my co-host came up to me and told me, bloated in my face, that the Rangers lost game 1 out of 82. I had to remind him that, you know, the Islanders have won one playoff series in the last 10 years. Anyway,
at least you're not the Penguins. They, you know, 15 goals in 2 games. You know, everyone thinks the world is falling underneath them. You know, I watched both of those games, and, you know, I'm stunned. I really am with what I saw from the Penguins, because last night was an embarrassment. I mean, a total embarrassment. You could hear from the coaches down to the players, and it was pretty intense to watch that game.
One thing that intrigued me with that team, Steve and Rob, this is for the first time Matt Murray is going to be playing a full season of 70 to 75, whatever, how many games, and then a full playoff run. So that's one thing that's going to intrigue me with that team. But Rob, I know Steven wants to get it. I'm going to pose the first question. How surprised are you that Hosang, which you can argue second, third best talent on that team, got benched today?
I wouldn't say I'm not overly surprised. You know, I think with it being opening night and this being Hosang's first opening night, maybe he'd have the jitters. You know, maybe, like you saw with even Bavuia and Barzal last year when they both played their first games, there were some jitters there. There was some, you know, there was some nerves, and they didn't really come well out of the gate. I think I don't mind Wade going with the experience. I think the thing with Chimera, and people don't realize, he's a very, very good role player for a team like the Islanders this year. He showed it last year. He was slow out of the gate last year, but he did score 20 goals. And he's a great penalty killer. He's got tremendous speed. And, you know, he's like a Swiss Army knife kind of guy where you could throw him in any type of situation. And I think with Columbus being a bigger and more physical type of club, I think Wade just wanted someone like Chimera with his size, his experience, and a little bit, maybe a little bit more grit than what Hosang has. But it really didn't surprise me. I mean, I got the call from somebody telling me that Hosang was going to be scratched tomorrow. And this was before Arthur Staple reported it. And I was like, there's no way. I want to hear from the horse's mouth. And he was like, okay, don't believe me. And, you know, once I saw it, I was like, wow. I was really, really surprised. But, you know, Hosang, it's one game. I saw what Hosang said a few minutes ago that Staple tweeted out. It's one game. And I think it'll just motivate him more to even have a much more better performance tomorrow when he will be in the lineup tomorrow. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, I when I first saw the news, I was a little confused. And I understand Wade's decision by putting experience there. Columbus is a really chippy team, a really dirty team, in my opinion. Guys like Brandon Dupuis.
I don't know about dirty. They're going to be really good offensively with Artemi Panarin now in the lineup. Yeah. They're going to be a really good team. I have them as one of those teams that is going to fight tooth and nail with Pittsburgh to become to win that Metro Division, because they, you know, they still have Sergei Bobrovsky, who's now the defending Vezina Trophy winner, and you have John Tortorella, who won the Jack Adams Award, and they're still young on defense. They've got a really, really solid group of forwards, and Panarin just makes that group even more deadly.
I definitely agree. Getting back to the Islanders, also scratch is Ryan Pulock and Scott Mayfield. Adam Pellick will be, I assume, next to Dennis Seidenberg. If I had to take a guess, I'm not sure what the pairings are going to be. But what are your thoughts? I feel like Mayfield really played a big role in preseason and training camp. But it seems like Pellick has the nod.
I think this is where it's going to be really big. Wade being in his first season, to see how he uses those three guys, Pulock, Pellick, and Mayfield. I thought Pellick was good in the preseason. I thought Mayfield played good in the preseason. I saw some struggles from Pulock, I'm not going to lie. And I wouldn't say there were some warning signs, but I think with a game like tonight, you know, like I said, Columbus, they also play with a lot of speed. They have a lot of skill. And it is the first game, but you can't have guys making – someone like Pulock making mistakes in the defensive zone and it costing the team, because there were some of those mistakes in the preseason that were, you know, very vital. You could see clearly that, you know, he had his struggles, but I'm not surprised by the move. I mean, if Mayfield was playing instead of Pellick, I would be very surprised, because I remember, I think I told you guys when we did the show at the street fair, I remember him saying at the beginning of training camp, he wanted that third spot now that Travis Hamonic was gone, and he wanted to earn it. And I thought, oh, if he was going to play tonight, he deserved that spot. And it would have been it'd be really, really special. Not special. It'd be really good for his development and for the team's development that he went into training camp, he wanted that third spot, and he got it. And it'd be, like, huge for the team's future. But I think, like I said, I think they wanted Pellick in there tonight. I think we're going to see Mayfield or Pulock tomorrow. And I think we'll see one of those guys if one of those two doesn't play on Monday. I kind of had the theory that you give Pulock one game in these first three games, you give Pellick one game, and you give Mayfield, just to see what you have to work with. But I do see Pellick playing with DeHaan on the second pair, and then you have Hickey and Seidenberg on the third pair, because I think those two can make a great – one second. I think they can make a superb third pairing this year. I really – you know, I know we're going to see some moving parts because of how deep the Islanders are at defense, but I really like that Seidenberg and Hickey pairing to be the last line of defense this year, because Seidenberg, I know he's 36, and maybe he'll beat Father Time again. He's actually not as bad as people think. He played, was pretty good last year. Led the team in plus minus with a plus 25. I mean, that's pretty good for a 35-year-old. And then you have Hickey, who's going to be looking to bounce back, and he's in a contract year too. So he's got more to showcase this year.
Rob, well, the season is upon us. I need to hear every opinion I possibly can from you. Giants. Why? Oh, God. All right. I think Steven's just sitting here hating. Rob, I want to hear, where do you think, what direction will start the Metro, or start the Eastern Conference, the Atlantic and Metro? Where do you think those two divisions, what direction are they going in?
I think the Metro is the best division in hockey, and there's no question. And I think if people want to argue about it, just go up and down the list of the Metro. You have five playoff teams returning from last year. You have the two-time and back-to-back Stanley Cup champion in the Pittsburgh Penguins. You have the Capitals, who have won the President's Trophy the last 2 years. You've got Columbus. You've got the Rangers, who they've only missed the playoffs once in the last 12 years. That's incredible. And then you got the Islanders, who are on the up and up. You have the Devils, who are going to be better. They are going to be better. I'll say that right now. Do I think they'll make the playoffs? I don't think they're ready just yet. I think they still need a few more parts to be a playoff team. I think the Flyers take a step back. I think they're in a mini rebuild, and I think with Carolina is my under is my what's called. I lost track. Carolina is my team to watch out for in the Metro. I think they're going to be really good this year. They have a really, really good defense. Probably one of the top four in the league when it comes to top two defense pairings. But their offense has gotten better. They brought in Justin Williams, who's going to be really, really good for that team because of how young they are. And then you have Scott Darling. And this is where I think Carolina is going to be really good. Darling is now a starter. We didn't get to see much of him in Chicago because it was the Corey Crawford show. But this is now Darling's shot. And then you have Cam Ward behind him. That's a really, really solid 1-2 punch, no matter any way you think about it. So I have I've got the Penguins 1. I've got I'm going to go with Columbus 2. I'm going to go with the Islanders 3. I'm going to go with Washington 4.
Wow.
I think the Rangers missed the playoffs this year. Like I said, it's only one game, but I saw some things last night where I don't think they're that deep offensively at the bottom of their forward group. I think top six wise, they could be really, really good, but the bottom part, I'm very skeptical. And I think Carolina, I think they still need, just like the Devils, I think they still need one more year before they really, really set the tone. And then you got the Flyers and the Devils. Devils will be better. Flyers, they're in a mini rebuild. And, you know, I know they still have Giroux and Simmons, and their defense is getting better. And now they brought in Brian Elliott, who is a solidified number one goaltender. But they're also, the bottom part of their forward group, it doesn't really intrigue me.
Steven, just dropped from the crystal ball. That is Rob Taub. I have the Penguins, Caps, Blue Jackets, and then in the wild card, I have both coming out of the Metro, which are the Rangers and the Islanders. I think I have the Rangers as the seventh seed right now, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Islanders finished ahead of them after what I saw last night. But, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint, so we shall see. Steven?
It's just so funny because after I heard Rob's predictions, I have mine on a piece of paper right here with in the Metro. Pittsburgh is number one, Columbus 2, and the Islanders at number 3, and the two wild card teams coming out of the East are the Rangers with the first wild card and the Caps at number 5. I think the Caps are going to be a good team. I just think the Metro got a whole lot better. I'm going to tend to disagree with Rob on the Hurricanes. I think two people are too big on them. Yes, they have a solidified goaltender and Scott Darling. I don't think Cam Ward their backup now. I'm not too sure on that, but either way. But getting into the Atlantic, I just want to read off. I have
a boring division outside of the Maple Leafs, in my opinion.
I have the Maple Leafs at number one. I have them winning the division. Then Tampa Bay at number two. A healthy Stamkos is going to help that team. And that, we'll see what happens with Vasilevsky being the number one goaltender. And then number three, I have Ottawa.
Wow. Okay. I have everything. I have the top two, except I have Montreal in the third seed. Rob, what about you? Where direction is the Atlantic going in this season?
I've got Tampa one because Stephen Stamkos is going to be healthy. They've reassured their defense. I think Dan Girardi is going to play a huge, huge role with that team. I think the Rangers, I understand why they had to let him go, but I think they severely undervalued him over the past 2 years. I think he's going to do great with Tampa. I've got Toronto at two, and just based on what I saw two nights ago against Winnipeg, Toronto is going to be an offensive machine. It's going to be driven by Austin Matthews, potential MVP, potential Hart candidate this year. And then at three, I'm gonna go with the Buffalo Sabres. Something about the Sabres this year. New coach in Phil Housley, new management. Jack Eichel just signed that massive contract. He is the guy now, and I know they didn't name a captain, but Eichel is going to be the leader of that team. They reassured on defense with bringing in Beaulieu. I like that they still have Oposo is going to be fully healthy this year again. Evander Kane, I think all the hoopla is done with him with the trade rumors. Ryan O'Reilly, still very good. They've got some really good young guys on offense and defensively. I think they're pretty solid as well. And in goal, this is where it gets tricky because Robin Lehner can't seem to stay healthy. But I think finally this year, he finally does. And I like the Sabres in that division this year more than Ottawa because I think they still lack offensively. Their defense, one of the best in the league. And I don't know if you're going to get the same type of year from Craig Anderson that you got last year, especially with the circumstances that surrounded him a year ago with his wife and the team rallying around him. So I'm going to go with the Sabres for three. I'm going to go Ottawa four. They missed the playoffs. Montreal, everyone is so high. Everyone thinks if they have Carey Price, they're going to make the playoffs. Not going to happen. I love that they brought in Drouin. He is going to become a stud up there. He's going to be the feature guy up there because he's a French guy. You know, he's the hometown kid. But offensively, behind him, Pacioretty and Galchenyuk, not much to offer except maybe Brendan Gallagher. And defensively, still have Shea Weber, but they're getting older defensively. You could see the writing on the wall that they're getting older defensively. And okay, that was who else is in the Atlantic? I forgot.
No one else important.
No one else. Detroit's not going to.
Detroit, Florida. Just very boring teams.
Detroit,
but
Detroit's still in the rebuild. But you know, with that new building, they'll make some noise. But I think they'll struggle this year.
Steven, did you want to go into the
specific now? I have Edmonton winning the division.
Edmonton's
going to be the fan favorite team of the season. Edmonton, number one. Anaheim at number two. San Jose at number three. And I have Calgary at my number four making the wild card. And I also have my other wild card team in the other division. I'll get to that.
Yeah, I got the Oilers, Ducks. I had the Flames as the third seed. I think they're improved up and rising team. Sharks, and I have the Sharks in the wild card. I just think they lost Marlowe. They're going to take a little bit of a step back. And I have another wild card team in the Central. Rob, Pacific, are you high on your Ducks again this year, or are you ready to hand the gauntlet over of the Pacific Division to the Oilers?
I'm still pretty high on the Ducks because they brought in Ryan Miller, and I think he's going to do great things for John Gibson. I think now Gibson has a true backup that if he struggles, that the team can depend on. Still top heavy up front, still good on defense. Signed Cam Fowler in the offseason to that long-term contract. I still like the Ducks this year. Edmonton, I'm getting the sense that Edmonton can be a little bit – everyone's overrating Edmonton a little bit this year. I feel like, everyone's picking them to be the favorite to go to the Cup. And no offense, no one loved what Cam Talbot did more last year than me. I always said that the Rangers made the biggest mistake by trading him because especially the way Lundqvist was getting up there in age, Talbot was going to be the guy that was going to replace him and was probably going to bring the Rangers finally to a cup. So I think Edmonton, I do think they'll win the Pacific. I got the Ducks 2. I think Calgary 3 because they brought in Mike Smith. I think he's solidified that number one spot now that they got rid of Brian Elliott. I think that was kind of a bad situation from the start. Calgary better on defense than most people think. Offensively, you just brought in Jagr, and I think he's going to do fantastic things with those young guys, Bennett, Gaudreau, Monahan, Frolik. I think that added element is going to pay huge dividends for Calgary. And then I got San Jose at 4, and I forgot who else at 5. I keep forgetting who's in the rest of these divisions.
I mean, yeah, if we're going down that far, I don't think we're getting anything good out of them. But Rob, the Central?
I got the Stars winning the Central. And I think now that they got new head coach in Ken Hitchcock, you know, now coming back, Ben Bishop, I think everyone's going to sleep on Ben Bishop this year. I think he's got something to prove this year, and so do the Stars. I really, really like the Stars lineup this year. They're going to be healthy. They're now going to be healthy. Their defense, a bit underrated with Klingberg leading the pack there. But you still have Tyler Seguin. You still have Jamie Benn leading the way. Their offense is pretty top-heavy too. So I got them at 1. I got the Blackhawks at 2. And this is going to be an interesting year for the Blackhawks for me because, you know, after getting swept last year, I feel like they're going to be on a warpath. And you saw the way it was last night. They put up 10 goals in their first game. And that wasn't a sign of the things to come for the Blackhawks this year. And I think they are going to be so motivated to get that bitter taste out of their mouth that the Predators swept them. I think they're going to be the 2 this year. I have Nashville at 3. I think, you know, every team has a Stanley Cup hangover, and it's not only the winning team. I think Nashville is the 3 this year. I love that they brought in Nick Bonino. I think he's really good for the bottom part of their forward group. Defensively, best in the NHL with Josi and Ellis, and the list goes on and on. And then you have Pekka-Rinne, who finally got them to a Stanley Cup last year, and I think he will have a chance to do it again this year. And then 4, I got the Blues. I like the Blues, and I don't like the Blues. I think they're led by Tarasenko offensively, led by Petrangelo defensively. This is going to be a huge year for Jake Allen because he was questioned a lot last year if he could be a starter. Now it's his this is his time, and he's got to prove it. And I think they're good offensively. Like I said, good offensively, all with Tarasenko at the top. Petrangelo is their guy on defense, and Joel Edmondson on the defense, guy to watch this year, coming from St. Louis. And you're gonna have Colorado at the bottom. Who else is in these divisions? I keep losing track, man. I really do.
Steven, Central.
Central. I have Nashville winning the division. Chicago at number 2. Dallas at number 3. And then my other wild card team, it's hard to keep the Blues out of it, but I'm going to keep the Blues out of it this one. I'm going to go Winnipeg. I like the Jets getting the second wild card.
Steven, I see what you did there with the Jets. And they have one of the best top sixes in the league, no doubt about that. But their defense behind Byfuglien is very, very questionable. And yeah. You saw what Toronto did to them. And I think it's finally time. I wrote about this for Stan a few days ago. Connor Hellebuyck has to become the starter there. They got rid of Michael Hutchinson because he wasn't doing the job there. Michael Hutchinson is the future goaltender of this team. They should not, you know, I know they brought in Steve Mason as like a security blanket, but this is now Hellebuyck's time to really, really make that starting goaltending position in Winnipeg, you know, a real force for why Winnipeg could be really good. But I don't like their defense. I really don't. Behind Byfuglien. It doesn't speak out to me.
think Winnipeg might be a year or two away, but I do have the Predators, the Blackhawks, the Blues in the third seed, Steven. I do have the Stars in the wild card. Rob, quick, because you got to go to commercial break soon. Conference finals, who do you got? And then Stanley Cup finals.
Going to go with the Oilers and the Preds in the Western Conference. You know, not much needs to be said. And then in the East, I got the Penguins and the Lightning. And then my Stanley Cup final, I got to pick the Pens. I think they're going to three-peat. There's just something. I know they've had a bad two first games, but there's something about this team and the way they showed it the last 2 years. The Penguins are – they're the gold standard right now, and I think they win the cup again. And they are officially a – they're a dynasty already, but they really solidify themselves as one of the best ever by winning – by three-peating this year.
Well, I'm going to go with the Western Conference first. I'll go with Chicago versus Edmonton. And then the Eastern Conference, I have Pittsburgh, obviously, versus Toronto. I think Toronto is going to make a huge splash, especially if they get into the playoffs, which they will.
Steven's so high on Toronto. I swear to God.
Even higher on another Stanley Cup, Pittsburgh versus Edmonton. Oilers win the Stanley Cup. This is the second year I predicted this. Pittsburgh-Edmonton. Edmonton's winning it this year.
Oh, God, I really hope not. I do have – Steven had the same Eastern Conference Finals matchup as you do. Except I have the Maple Leafs going. I saw a hungry team. What I wanted to see last season against the Caps, a team that belonged, they showed a lot more, and I think they take the next step this year. In the Western Conference, I have the Predators getting back there against the Oilers. Then I have the Predators winning the Stanley Cup and righting the wrongs of losing to the Penguins. I see the Penguins, but to me, it's so hard to repeat in general. I mean, a three-peat, I can't see it. They lost pieces. I haven't seen Matt Murray in a full season yet. So, by the way.
But here, you know, Errol, you could talk about lost pieces, but when it comes to the Penguins, once they lose pieces, they find new ones, and they just insert them, and they do the job. That's the thing with the Penguins now. They can lose whoever. They can lose Foligno. They can lose Fleury. They have guys now that can – they have guys that they're bringing in that will do the job. That's it. That's just the Penguins' mentality.
I just think Steven likes upsetting me. I'm going to read Steven's awards.
I want to change one of them.
Awards?
My Calder, real quick. Well, my heart is going to Connor McDavid for the second straight year. My Calder, Calder, I'm going with either Nolan Patrick or Josh Hosang. The Vezina, I'm going with Talbot. I think Cam Talbot has an excellent year. Norris, I'm just going to go with the veteran, Brent Burns. And Jack Adams, Doug Waite.
Oh, God.
I like those.
I have Austin Matthews winning the heart. Nolan Patrick I got with the Calder. I have Subban with the Norris. And I do have Jack Adams winning the – I do have Doug Waite winning the Jack Adams as well. And then I have Rene winning the Vezina. I think he has a big year. Rob has Sidney Crosby. No, I'm just kidding. Rob, do you have those thoughts in your head at this point?
For the heart, I, for some reason, and I wrote about this 2 days ago, I want to see John Tavares win the Hart Trophy this year. I really do. I think this is finally his time. I know he was a candidate a few years ago, but what he's got now with Anders Lee and Jordan Eberle both beside him, I feel like Tavares is in for at least a 95-200 point season. And the Islanders are going to need him to have a 95-200 point season. I could have gone with the obvious pick of McDavid or Crosby or Matthews, but I am going to go, I think John Tavares wins the Hart Trophy. And this is no bias. This is just what I think he needs. He needs to be that good this year for the Islanders to succeed. I want to see the best John Tavares I've ever seen out of him this year.
What about for the Calder?
I've talked about Barzal and Hosang. I'm going to go with Charlie McAvoy from the Bruins. I saw what he did last night, scoring his first. He is going to become the next coming of Zdeno Chara. He doesn't have the size, but He has that leadership. He's got that drive. He's got that skill. And he's going to show it all this year. I got Charlie McAvoy winning the Calder.
The Vezina?
Sorry?
Yeah, the Vezina.
Vezina, I'm going to go Cam Talbot. You know, lights out last year. I think now that he has another year under his belt, and he's got an even better team in front of him this year. He's not going to have to worry about goal scoring, you know, because of McDavid and Dreisaitl and the rest of the Oilers forward. And he's got better defense. There's better defense there. I like Talbot. I think he could be even in the Hart Trophy conversation for how good we think he can be. But yeah, I got the Talbot winning the Vezina over Pekarinen.
The Norris.
I'm gonna go off the board. I'm gonna go with Zach Werenski in Columbus.
That's a good pick.
He could have been Rookie of the Year last year if it wasn't for Austin Matthews or Patrick Laine. Werenski is I feel like he's the next coming of it, like an Erik Karlsson or a Brent Burns. He's good in his own zone. Offensively, he's so gifted offensively, and he's going to be the guy next to Seth Jones that leads that Columbus D-Corps. So I got him winning. I've got him winning the Norris, and then my Jack Adams, hard sell. I'm going to go with Bill Peters in Carolina. If Carolina, I know I don't have them making the playoffs, but if Carolina makes the playoffs and they like really, really have a really good, a fantastic year, it's got to go to Bill Peters, because the way that team is built now and the way he can coach, the way he coached that team last year, even though they fell short, you could see he was building something special. I mean, really building something special. So I think this year, if they put it all together, like I told you before, bringing in Justin Williams, having number one goaltending, having a good solid 1-2 punch and goal. They've got depth down the middle, on the wings. They've got a phenomenal defensive core. I think Bill Peters could, if Carolina makes the playoffs, he wins the Jack Adams.
Oh, God, it's going to be a long season, and hopefully not too long for my team. But, Rob, we appreciate it. We always appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk to you again soon this season.
Thanks, guys. It was fun.
All right, Rob Tabb of Stan Fischler. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be back after this.
Introducing the S&D Podcast Channel, your one-stop source for all types of podcasts. We are always on the look for new podcasts to join our channel. If there is any topic you would like to discuss, contact us now. We can be reached on all social media, such as Facebook, Twitter, and or Instagram. You can also contact us by email or leave us a voicemail at 516-570-9248. So make sure to contact us now so you can start your podcast soon.
Weissman and I was back with you on this Friday. That was just Rob Tubb of Stan Fischler Hockey. Great intake from him.
Insight. We took it in. I mean, we did, but.
That's what I meant. But I'm just too excited that hockey season's back. But let's just get right into it, Errol. We have our NFL picks on this Friday, week 5. Yesterday we had a good game, New England versus Tampa. I actually had Tampa, so give me the loss there.
You hear that? Steven, let's get started. What do we got?
All right. Chargers.
What's the spread on this one? Let's go.
The Giants are favored.
Yeah, well, I mean, they both haven't won a game. They're 0-8 between the two of them.
About 3.5 points.
Give me the Giants, 3.5 points. Chargers going from west to east. I think Giants finally. Just if you want to see a bigger mess than the Giants, which I know is hard to do aside from maybe the Colts have a win, Christ's sake. Give me the Giants. Chargers are even a bigger mess.
This is the first week that I'm going to do this, Errol. I'm going to pick the Giants.
It's about time.
And the Giants are going to win this one.
Wayne, look out for Wayne Goldman. Have a big game. Paul Perkins is out.
All right. Next game. Bills at Cincinnati. Cincinnati favored by 3. Errol?
You know how much I love this Buffalo team, and they did things I didn't even think they'd be able to do last week. Now, Matt Ryan lost his 2 best weapons. I get that. And Andy Dalton is Andy Dalton. The Bengals aren't going against the Browns. But this is a legitimate defense, Steven, with Sean McDermott now running the show in Buffalo. Tyrod Taylor is finally starting to show how good his talent says he is.
We knew his arm strength. We knew about that for years, but now he's putting it all together.
He is a dual threat. Give me the Buffalo Bills to win this game outright in Cincinnati to go 4-1.
I'm taking Buffalo outright as well. You know what? Cincinnati just looks terrible. Andy Dalton's a horrible quarterback. Let's put it that way. Next game.
Where is Joe?
Jets at Cleveland. Cleveland, it's a pick'em game. Cleveland is favored by a point. 0-4 Browns are about to go 0-5 because the Jets are going to win this one. Three in a row for your New York Jets.
Did you ever think the Giants are going to be two games worse than the Jets? Well, they're going to be two games worse than the Jets because they are both winning this weekend. The Jets are getting through. This is the Jets' thing to do. They can't even take the right way. Give me the Jets. I think this will be – this is a candidate for their last win of the season, though.
You think so? I think if
you look – no, I don't think so. Give me the Jets. In Cleveland. I thought they would get some decency out of Cleveland this year.
Horrible.
We saw it 1 week against Ben Roethlisberger, but they are just god awful. Give me the Jets.
Next game, Panthers in Detroit. This is a great game. Both 3-1. Errol, who you got?
You know, it's
Detroit favored by 2.5.
You know, it's funny. When I hear Cam Newton talk about sexism and routes. You like routes, Cam? Because you know, likes to run routes. Golden Tate likes to run routes. Kenny Golladay likes to run routes. I'm glad we didn't have enough time to get to that today because it infuriated me. And what infuriated me more is the people that are just blowing it off like it's no big deal. Come on, man. We've got to live in a somewhat equal society. With that said, despite Cam's comments, I'm still picking the Lions. I mean, I would have picked the Lions anyway. It's only 2.5 points.
Yeah.
Give me the Lions at home. Lions are good, man. Joe may have hit the nail on the head with this team, picking them to win the division. Give me the Lions to win again.
I hate agreeing with you on every pick so far, but I'm going with Detroit too. Carolina is a great team. Cam Newton has looked absolutely incredible coming off a bad injury last year, but I'm going the Lions. Matt Stafford has looked incredible, worth that contract he got.
They should be undefeated, this team right now.
No, absolutely.
They should be undefeated.
Next game, the best game of the week in my opinion.
Better than Jets and Browns?
49ers. In Indianapolis,
Christ.
Indianapolis, another pretty much a pick'em game. Indianapolis, 1.5.
No Jack Doyle. I can't believe I have to break down Colts offense. No Jack Doyle.
Again, no Andrew Luck.
No Andrew Luck, obviously. I don't like doing this. Give me the 49ers. This is their only chance. Must be their only chance to win a game. Jeez. Give me the 49ers to go on the road. I think Carlos Hyde has a big day, and I think Brian Hoyer looks confident, so give me the 49ers.
Well, Errol, I'm kind of on a Jacoby Brissett bandwagon. I'm a big fan of his. I like the way he's played so far.
He could be a starting quarterback in this
one. I like the Colts in this one. Give me the Colts.
One thing I have to say to the people who shun me on the Jacoby Brissett argument, he has so much less around him than Garoppolo did, and Garoppolo looks just as good. So take that to the bank and shove it where the sun don't shine. But
next game, Tennessee in Miami.
Still don't know where Mariota's going with this game, man. I'll say this right now with the spread. I'm sure it's
Titans are favored by 3.
Okay. If Mariota's playing, give me the Titans, no doubt. If he's not playing, give me the Dolphins. Put a little asterisk next to this game.
Either way, the Dolphins look absolutely atrocious. Jay Cutler is so bad. There's going to be a quarterback change real quick, if not this week. Give me the Titans.
What do we got next?
Cardinals versus the Eagles. Ooh. In Philadelphia. Eagles favored by 6.5 points.
I'll take the points. I know Cardinals gave the Cowboys trouble a couple weeks ago. The Eagles, they've impressed me, but they should have lost the game against the Giants. They blew the game against the Chiefs. I don't know what happened to the Redskins since then, but they've been playing well. Kirk Cousins was terrible that game. Give me the Cardinals to cover. I think the Eagles still win.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say Cardinals cover, Eagles win this one. No analysis there.
I don't know if there was any. I don't think there's a valid one to give from you, Steve.
Thanks.
I love you. But
next one, Jaguars versus Steelers in Pittsburgh. Steelers favored by 8 points. Big spread there. I know you like your Jaguars, Steelers are going to win this one outright.
I like my Jaguars. That's a lot of points. But I'm expecting this Steelers defense is pretty good. Young, explosive. Give me the Steelers to win by 8, to win by more than 9. I think Blake Bortles is a Blake Bortles day, and I think this defense is...
What happened to Bortles, man?
gosh.
You're so high on him.
I jinxed it. He had a fantastic year 2 years ago, and I jinxed it. But give me Big Ben to finally get back on track and look like Big Ben.
Next game, Seattle versus the Rams. Rams favored by a point.
This is my new Jaguars team, man. This is my new luck. This team's actually good. I told you before the season, watch out for the Rams. I didn't think they would make the playoffs. I think they win about 8 or 9 games. Dude, this team, isn't that bizarre to say? Because let's just go down on it. The Packers' defense is atrocious. They had injuries everywhere. The Falcons, I understand, are 3-2, 3-1. They should be 1-3. I mean, they look really average. And Seattle, we've seen plenty. I think the Rams might be right this second on October. What's today's date? It's not October 3rd. October 6th. They might be the best team in the NFC. Give me the Rams. You like that, right? Give me the Rams at home. The Rams are the best team in that division. They might win that division.
You know what? I like the Rams in this one, too. I do think Jared Goff is playing a little over his head.
Over his head?
I think they're the worst 3-1 team right now. I'm going to say that. I do like the Rams.
I'm going to pick
Seattle. I think they're just the better overall team.
I think you're dead wrong on this team, man. You gotta sit down and watch this team. And you have sat down and watched this team against the Cowboys that we watched last week. This team's legit.
I'm going Seattle. The better defense. I'm going next game.
I don't know about that.
Baltimore in Oakland. No Derek Carr. Connor Cook. No, E.J. Manuel's
the starter. What's the stress?
Oakland favored by 2.5.
Oh, give me the Ravens. Lock of the week. Oh, my God.
Ravens win this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with the Ravens, too. Derek Carr's a huge blow. Huge.
By the way, can I just say something? Ever since I put out my first and what is right now my only article for the S&D blog, Greg Olsen has got hurt. Put him in the postseason. David Johnson got hurt. Put the Cardinals in the postseason. The Giants are a disaster. Put them in the postseason. Everyone's gotten hurt from the Packers. Put them in the postseason. Falcons look average. Put them in the postseason. And obviously, I had the Raiders winning the Super Bowl, and Derek Carr gets hurt. So I don't listen to me. Anything I say.
So we both have Baltimore winning that one. Packers going into Dallas. Dallas favored by 2 points. What do you got?
I can't let my bias take over on this one, Steven. The one thing that would concern me, teams are making adjustments. Wade Phillips made a big adjustment against the Cowboys last week in the second half. Except the Packers don't have the talent to do that. They look a little shaky. I'll take the home team with this game. Give me the Cowboys in Jerry's world against Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think the Packers are just a little too banged up right now, especially with horrible hit on Devontae Adams. Concussed, I believe.
I don't know if Tom Montgomery is playing, but he might.
I think he's questionable. I'm going to go with Dallas. They're going to improve to 3-2 here. I think this is the game of the week. This is my favorite game.
Well, considering it's...
Two rookies of the year.
Considering it's a night game.
Early candidates. Chiefs versus the Texans. Deshaun Watson has looked incredible. Kareem Hunt has looked unbelievable. He's, in my opinion, early candidate for the MVP. We're going to go with Kansas City to improve 5-0.
Yeah, give me KC. I know that came in Houston, but Kansas City's just better. I mean, now they're going up. Now Deshaun Watson going up a legit defense. I get it. No Eric Berry. Andy Reid is the second best coach in the league. I mean, he is incredible. The way he utilizes his weapons, everyone's freaking out about, you know, the Wildcat. Brilliant. Give me the Chiefs. Chiefs are legit this year, man. I know we've seen this before when they went 9-0. They didn't even get it. They ended up getting a wild card after going 9-0. It was incredible.
But then look what happens in the playoffs with this team.
This, I know. But for right now, I think that it's just a different feel with this team. Alex Smith has a chip on his shoulder and something to prove. Give me the Texans on a 1.5-point spread?
One.
Ridiculous. Give me the Texans. I mean, excuse me. Give me the Chiefs.
Yeah, we both have the Chiefs. The Monday night game, last game, Vikings going into Soldier Field against Chicago. Minnesota favored by 2.5 points without Sam Bradford.
I think he's playing.
I don't think he plays.
There's a good chance he plays. It's going to be a game-time decision. There's a chance he plays. But even so, That defense going up, I mean, this what a game for Mitchell Trubisky to have his first game against this Minnesota Vikings defense. I don't know how he's going to fare against this team. So give me the Vikings to go on the road. Steven, give me the spread one more time.
It's 2.5 points, Minnesota.
Give me the Vikings. It's a small spread on the road, even though it's a little sketchy. I don't know what Vegas is doing, but give me the Vikings.
Give me the Bears. Trubisky, in his first start,
oh, man.
Give me the Bears. I want to see what Mitchell Trubisky has against this Minnesota defense. I'm excited to see it. You know, Vikings have looked good.
Bears haven't looked terrible either.
No, they
haven't. Aside from last week, but Bears haven't looked terrible at home.
Aside with all the injuries they have, you know, I give the Bears credit. The record doesn't show what they've been actually doing.
They beat the Steelers at home, and they almost beat the Falcons at home. So as a home team, they have played well this season. On the road, obviously, I believe they're getting outscored 38. Give me a minute to do math. It's not working out. 48, 58, 64, 64-7. They're getting outscored. Two blowouts by the hands of the Buccaneers and the Packers. So, Steven, that is our NFL predictions. And I know you're motioning to me. I told Joe. I saw Joe outside my house today, as we do live across the street from each other. And I told him, send me your picks. Didn't do it. So I'm sure I'll get him eventually. But that is our Week 5 prediction, Steven. Watched a baseball game the other night. That was very entertaining. Very entertaining. As we see soon to be the National League champs. I have an issue.
Did we really go through our, like...
We went through a little bit.
Can I just tell you what I feel is going to happen this postseason?
Go ahead.
I think...
I don't see why not.
The Nationals defeat the Cubs.
Okay.
I think
I don't see that
the Dodgers defeat the Diamondbacks. I think
we're going to have a
Dodgers... Nationals game 7, Dodgers win that one. Go to World Series to verse the Houston Astros,
okay,
who will sweep the Boston Red Sox.
I see that happening.
Cleveland will win their series against the Yankees in 5.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Houston defeats Cleveland in 7. Houston defeats Dodgers in 6. So the Astros are going to be your World Series champions with Jose Altuve as your MVP.
You know how I feel about this postseason. I think the Diamondbacks top to bottom are the deepest team. Aside from that bullpen scares me. I wouldn't get too worked up about the Archie Bradley thing the other night because, I mean, he has a sub-1 ERA. Sub-1? Steven, he's an ERA under 2 as a reliever. How many pitchers have we seen? Average to below average starters, Andrew Miller, Dylan Betances, Archie Bradley, even Drew Familia, you know, we didn't really see that, you know, him or Betances in action, but while they're starting, and just become phenomenal. Chapman, phenomenal, just incredible relief pitchers. The 8-9 scares me. Rodney has only given up three blown saves in the second half of the season. 3 runs in the month of September. They're all in one game against the Padres, which I can't figure out why this team struggled with the Padres, the only team that they struggled with. And I can't wrap my head around Taijuan Walker starting tonight against Clayton Kershaw. I would have started, since Robbie Ray is out of the equation for tonight, I would have started Patrick Corbin. I would have started Zach Godley. I didn't even think Taijuan Walker would be in the conversation, let alone be tapped as the starter. Give me the Diamondbacks in 4 games. I think this is the only game that
they lose.
You don't
think Clayton Kershaw wins this one?
I think this
tonight
is the only game that they lose to, as you just interrupt me. The only game they lose tonight, the Diamondbacks, is tonight. Give me Robbie Wright tomorrow night against Darvish. Zach Greinke's going to be starting at home, and whoever they throw out there for game 4. Although Kershaw might start game 4. So I give it to me in 4. Give me in 4 games.
Okay.
The Astros, I agree with you. I think they sweep. I think we saw last yesterday they just can't match up. The Red Sox, talking about the Red Sox now, can't match up with the Astros. Keuchel going today against Pomerantz. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. But then again, they do have McCullers. They do have Brad Peacock. They have a very good underrated rotation outside of the 2 studs up top. I think they – Steven, I agree with you. I think they sweep them. I think last night was the only night – last night was the night for the Yankees to get on track. But I do believe that they get swept as well.
Oh, I don't know if they get swept. I think they might win one.
People are I don't think they win tonight. No way they win tonight against Kluber. People are undervaluing Michael Kay on the Michael Kay show. Number one as you wind down the 60 seconds, I'm losing concentration now. People are undervaluing Carlos Carrasco. Carlos Carrasco is a damn good pitcher. He's the second good best pitcher on the team. Trevor Bauer is their fourth, Steven.
And he was unbelievable.
And he was great last night. So give me a 5 1/3 no hitter. Give me the Indians to sweep. I think if they're going to get a game and try to take this series, that it was last night. And I believe that's and the Nationals and Cubs. I think just the Nationals are too banged up. Cubs, I think, get back to the ALCS. I think that series does go five outside of Strasburg and Scherzer if he's healthy. I don't know what this. I think this is a very high scoring series. I don't think the pitchers match up well with each other this series. I think give me a high scoring series, and obviously, you know, I got the Diamondbacks and the Indians in the World Series. Give me the Indians to finish the job.
And that'll do it for our show. Just before I wrap it up, let's go Islanders. But I just have to throw that in. But you can listen to our show on I-95 Sport Network on demand. On their new revamped website, also SND Podcast. You can find our shows on SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes, and I believe I-95 Sports Network is, they're starting up their SoundCloud channel too, so hopefully we can put our shows on that as well. But for Western Rolls on this Friday, enjoy hockey, enjoy football, enjoy baseball.